Just goes a little bit of a story. So the starting point goes with the story, which I just thought was a beautiful story. So I was staying in a one room apartment. It's in Hedrum Rechevet, and I needed a place to daven. So right across from where I was staying, there was a shul. So at first I didn't daven there. I went in there actually. They told me minyan was, you know, I was really a little behind. I went in like 7:09. They told me they started 7. So next day I daven there. A really beautiful minyan, nice and slow, and you know, like davened people, you know, there was real, you heard crying during davening, you heard, you know, hearts during davening. It was a real tefillah. It was an act of tefillah. So I'm looking at the person, I'm sitting and davening, and this person walks in, clearly a mechubad, wearing a kapata. And he's like, somebody helps him. He needs a little bit of assistance. Somebody, like, you see the deference that people are dealing with him. So I was curious, who is this person who's sitting down right in front of me? I look at his talazekel and it says Devir on his talazekel. So I was like, the Devir is the Beis Lechem Yehuda. So Beis Lechem Yehuda was a sefer which was already mekubal 40 years ago. And you know, it was like the his bekiyas and his havana in yeshiva shemasechtas. So I was like a little bit like, wow. After davening, he turns around and says Shalom Aleichem, the sweetest, warmest, most like embracing type of a way. So we talked a little bit, etc. So I told him I can enjoy his story very much, you know. So he says, if so, you should know that he put out on Chumash the Ramban Beis Hayayin, which I did not know that was the Beis. I know the Beis Hayayin and the Ramban. I didn't know what really was his. But then he told me that he put out also on Machshava, on Musar. So I said, I would love to see that. So he ran to the Reitzes Svarim of the Shul, and brings the sefer out to show me the sefer. He says to me, if you would like a copy of the sefer, I can bring you a copy tomorrow. It's like, no, I'm not having him schlep a copy of the sefer to shul tomorrow for me. So I said, okay, you know, I would like to come to Rashiva's house. So he said, okay, Adarava, come to visit. Like, but I can't describe how warm he was. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, like we were schmoozing if we were equals, and this man is like, I mean, he's just like, Layla, Layla. So he told me, like, you should take a look at this shmooze over here. He came in, Maram Mokum, to shmooze to look at. So I'm going to tell you what I thought from that shmooze. Before I tell you, I just want to tell you, I went to visit him in the house. So the next day, the doctor said, he's going to the doctor. So he got home around 9:30. So he got home around 9:40. I waited. And he walked in and, you know, invited me in. He said, is Rashiva eating yet this morning? He said, no, but it's fine. I said, Rashiva has to eat? No. He's matilucha. He's matilucha. Lebeti. Metzorach lekabelet. Orachayach. Bechavod. So we're talking a little bit, and then he gave me the sefer. So he says, and he wrote to the shalem. He says, lo yizmatilucha lebeti. Shetot shalem. He's matilucha lebeti. Shetot. This is Anilo Oseshorabahasforim. Then he told me that, you know, he has the Beis Hayayin now on the Ramban is a drasha called Tarsha Shem Tamimo. So he has on that also, and he has one of Kohelas. So I would like to get the one on Tarsha Shem Tamimo. So Anilo wrote to Shalim. Okay. Titan Lichamishim Shekel. Shekel is $12 for two swarm. I mean, like, you know, it's a joke. You know? Kitzer, he has a shmooze called a shmooze in the sefer called a Noshim Shal Tzura. And he tells on the fact in Parshas Bereishis, it says by Shais, when Shais was born, it describes that Shais is born that Adam lives 130 years. Vayelid b'dmusoy k'tzalmoy Shais, v'tikra shmoy Shais. So why does it over here be Yerlebit Salmoikid Musoi? It doesn't say that by Kain or by Hebel. So why does it describe Shais as being Bitzalmokid Musoi? This is, that's the point that he tells them. So he says that Bitzalmokid Musoi of Adam, it means he's a person, not just in physical appearance is similar, but in the way he deports himself, in the Tzuras Adam, he's similar to Adam. So Kayin clearly is different than Adam. Adam was a tzaddik, Adam was kaddish, you know, Kayin was a chayte. We understand that Kayin was not bidmusoy ketzalmoy. But why isn't Hevel bidmusoy ketzalmoy? So he says the following. If you think about it, Adam Arishan had to carve his own path in Avodas Hashem. He had nobody directing him how to serve Kadosh Baruch Hu. He had nobody to any precedent of how to do anything. Everything was what he thought, looked inside of himself, and understood what Avodas Hashem meant to him, and that's how he was able to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he was a yotzer. He was a person who created a yetzira of Avodas Hashem. Hevel wasn't such a person. And Rashi points. So he also brought. So Chazal say that he learned from Kayin. Kayin brought a korban. He said, "Oh, it's a good idea. I should bring a korban too." So Hevel was a person who mimicked somebody else's avodah. So he's not like Adam Arishan. Then he went. He continues in the Shmuz to prove that, you know, that Sheis, on the other hand, found, as much as he had a Masara from Adam to do certain things, he found his own path of Avodas Hashem. That's the first point that he says. Then he says a point which I will illustrate it with a story. It's a famous Maisa with the Satmar Rebbe. Satmar Rebbe was by Chasna, and there was a Batran who, with the Rishus of the Rebbe, imitated the Rebbe, you know, all of the mannerisms and the phraseology, etc. So as this was going on, the Rebbe started crying. So obviously the Batlin was like taken aback that he made the Rebbe cry. So he stopped. He went to apologize to the Rebbe. Like, you know, he had rishus to the Rebbe. Like, what did he do which made the Rebbe cry? So the Rebbe said, as I was watching you imitate me, I started wondering if some days I'm imitating me. In other words, it's not my hug is not because it's coming from the deep inside who I am, but rather, since this is what I've done yesterday and the day before, I'm doing the same thing because that's what the Rebbe does. So I'm just imitating the Rebbe. Happens to be most of the Rebbe, but I'm just imitating the Rebbe. So he started crying. So he says that the same way that's true in the person, avodah can't just be because somebody else did it, therefore I'm going to do it, because each person has to be matim to avodah to who he is. But the person has to be a yotzer, he has to be a yotzer of avodah constantly. I don't recall if he shelsu this Rabbeinu Yonah says, I think he shelsu this Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva and Shari Gimel, says an awful indictment that the Shar Gimel, the point of Shar Gimel is to go through how, the different areas which are common for people to do, and to point out how significant they are. Don't think that they're insignificant and you don't have to do tshuva about them. They're important, they're significant, they're really bad, do tshuva about them. So if that's the point of Shar Gimel. So he goes through, he starts with the Rabbonans, says the Rabbonans, it's all the Rabbanon, that's what you think about, you know. She brings all the Chavivim Divrei Sefer Midivrei, that takes the Ketuvim the Dechem Mayayin, Chavivim Divrei Sefer Midivrei Yerushim Shel Torah, the Rabbanons are more chomer than that, etc. So then he says, Aseis, yeah, it's just an Asei, you know. He brings all the Chazals of the importance of Aseis, etc. So that's the flow of Shar Gimel. Don't take these things lightly. They really are significant, and therefore, A, here are the common points where people are nechshol, and B, you take that seriously, do tshuva. So there in Shar Gimel, he says that I'm going to say in regards to a person who's not, is not choshev machshavas tamid, he's born in b'yiras Hashem, person who is not constantly thinking about how to be able to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It says that so the person is totally medatic on all the mitzvahs, but if he's not constantly thinking about how to move forward, it's called milumada. So I once heard from Shalom Shadron. Shalom Shadron says that the pasuk doesn't say they didn't have yira; they had yira. So you picture the guy is doing this action by rote, with no feeling, no commitment, no excitement, etc. That's not what the pasuk means. But he yirosimoisi, they had yira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that was mitzvah Hashem Lomar. So yeah, you cry in Tisha B'Av because you're supposed to cry in Tisha B'Av, and Elul you get a little bit nervous because you're supposed to get nervous in Elul, and Rosh Hashanah you cry because that's what you do in Rosh Hashanah. You don't cry Rosh because that's what you do in Rosh Hashanah. You cry Rosh because you feel it. And the fact that last year you cried doesn't mean this year you should cry. Right? But if the reason why you do it, on the calendar, the Dabbas Shemari, a lot of his lavas. Right? Avaraba, scream. You know, like his little note on the side of the safe. So you say it, you mean it, you know, Avaraba, Avtonu, Rosh, please help me understand Torah, you know, and you mean it. But why do you get excited about that today? Why do you get excited about something else in the middle of davening also? Because Teretz is, your davening is set up a certain way. So I have a conversation with somebody. It's never the same. I have a fascinating dilemma, which I have whenever I say a shmuz. I can say the exact same shmuz two times, and each time it comes out different. Because I'm different. This point means more to me. At this point, I forgot. At this point, I added. When human beings, I don't do the same thing again and again. So the pasuk says that's called mitzvah shem lamada. So the truth is, this is korban. Why is this korban? So betzim it's a pasuk parshas meskanon. Kisholid banim b'vnei banim and oshantem b'oritz. Mishchatayim asisem pesuk tumanas kol. This is what Rabbi Nei Hashem will get right. Rashi says he does say my hair minor may Allah them. So the pasuk says the Rashi is going to totally destroy us. So Rashi says that brings a pasuk. Tilma says Rashi did the chesed the klaiso because he brought ra on them. So what is it referring to? Referring to the fact that Rashi brought the ra 2 years early. That from the time klaiso went there to Israel till the churban was 850 years. When Roshanta was gematria 852. Had been Roshanta ben Niskayim, they would have been totally destroyed, like the pasuk says. So Barashim did a chesed and brought the korban 2 years earlier in order not to fall into this pasuk of Kiavoy Tavedun. You totally going to be destroyed. But the Torah describes the problem is when Roshanta and Baritz. You got old. It wasn't fresh. It wasn't new. It was the same thing again and again. It's old. The Torah describes that as destruction. So this Nakuda, which he starts out with, is saying that Anoshim Shatsura is, you know, that means people of stature are constantly being Yotzer. It sounds like, but you know, we can get away with not being. Rabbi Yonah is saying, no. You call it's called Anoshim Lamada. And the pasuk continues, right? But the he Rosh Hashanah mitzvah Anoshim Lamada, but he Yotzer for half days, almost a half of a fellow. I'm going to strike this nation, half of fellows. Rashi says that this punishment over here is worse than the punishment of Korban Habayis. Korban Habayis is a teir ployim, two pellas. Over here says the Mehini Yosef LaHafli is almost a half of a fellow. Yosef LaHafli, half of a fellow, three half laws. It's extraordinary, the punishment. So Chazal say, what's it referring to? It's referring to the Misa Sadiq. So Rav Dessler says in a Shmuz that why is Chazal say that Gedolah Misa Sadiqim Yosemi Churban Abayis. So he said the following. He said that the tzaddik is the person who is avoided is not mitzvah nashmi lomar. It's constantly growing. It's constantly doing. It's constantly developing. But we're not. But the nation is not doing that. So Bereshim says that I'm going to take away your meraderech, and I'm going to bring punishments upon you, and you're going to have to search inside of yourself and figure out if you really what you really want. So he then went on to say that a Chazal said that b'tar shalosh shmor lishmo, but shalosh lishmo never gets you to this idea of constantly renewing. It's enough to do. So you cannot stay in the shalosh lishmo forever. And if you stay in the shalosh lishmo, the Rosh Hashanah says, I'm going to make it lishmo. I'm going to make it so hard that you're going to be forced to either do it because you really mean it or not do it at all. He says, and that's what happened to Rosh. The regeneration of the generation, which is doing a shalosh lishmo, the Rosh Hashanah says, fine, no more of Avodas Hashem. Now, the people who really want it will do it. You're forced to lishmo. You cannot stay in shalosh lishmo forever. That's what he writes. Which, you think about it, the people who kept Torah mitzvahs under the extraordinary circumstances, right? Clearly, there was no shalosh lishmo over there. Every shalosh lishmo was against them. It was because they really wanted this. And those people were in a constant growth pattern. So, I suggest that a behemoth does things, it does actions. What distinguishes a human being from a behemoth is the thought process involved in the actions. It's done because I, as a human being, decide I want to do it, not because it's automatic. So any action which we're doing which is automatic is an action of a behemoth, not an action of a human being. So Tzuras Adam, Rashi told Tzuras Adam means that there's a decision involved in it. And doing it, because that's what I did yesterday, is not a decision anymore. That's what I did the day before, and the day before, and the day before. I get up every morning, and I'm awkward, and I say the tefillah very nicely, etc. But I'm doing it because that's what I do. All right? So that doesn't cut it. The Bereshit says, the reason why you get Eretz Yisrael, the reason why you have the Beis Hamikdash, is because there's a voida here. Actions of behemoths doesn't merit you Eretz Yisrael, doesn't merit you a Beis Hamikdash. But Eretz Yisrael, if that's what you're going to get to, you lost what I need you for. I don't need a robot. So it's not a punishment as much as it's a natural consequence. But in a certain sense, the Churban Habayis forced them to rethink. It stopped that. It was so shocking to them. It was so struggling. Oh my gosh, what do I really want in life? It's just like you can't just keep going with the flow anymore. So, but strangely enough, if you look at davening, what are the first two bakashas you make every day? The first bakasha is you say Birchas Torah, and you say B'harav Noshim Alkenos Yirei Sosom B'Finu, that it should be sweet, there should be exciting, interesting involvement, etc. That's the first tefillah we say every single morning. Bakasha, not praise, but bakasha. The second bakasha we say every morning is Targalena Masarasecha, we should be ruggle in doing Torah. We do, because we're accustomed. Right? You think about there's an element of contrast between these two bakashas. These are the first two things we ask for every morning. It's an awesome thing to think about. So Reb Chatzel says in one place, he says, we need to be ruggle in Torah. Torah mitzvah, we need to be ruggle. Imagine I wake up, you know what? I'm doing it now because it's a decision. Everything has to be a decision. Okay, I wake up in the morning, you know what? Should I put on my yarmulke or not? Let's talk about the possibilities. Yes, no, why? Kids myself. Should I wash the kavasser? You know, let's talk about it, you know. Should I say moida ani? I have to think about it. Decide yes, decide no, you know. Should I be nice to my wife? Decide yes, decide no. Should I make a bracha? Decide yes. Should I go to davening? You know, by the time you're finished after an hour, you're total shmata. Like you're exhausted, right? We do it because this is who we are. I'm a person who puts on a yarmulke and I wash the kavasser and I say meradin l'perecha and I don't wake up my wife and you know I'm careful, you know, I make my bed, you know, and I go to davening. This is what I do. What?
Make the bed should be off the recording.
I actually don't make my bed, but I'm saying, but you know, okay, I used to make my bed. My family said, you don't make your bed because that's why I rather sleep, you know, than have you make the bed, you know, like. It's quieter if you just get out, you know, please. Just go. Right. It tells you how to make your bed. So that was part of my training. It tells if you don't make your bed in the morning, you got a knas.
It's been years.
Like, the dorm was checked every single morning. Wow. Every single morning, the rooms were checked. And the beds had to be made. The room had to be neat. You had to have your slippers under the bed. I mean, it was like in the closet. There was a shoe thing on the bottom of the closet to put your shoes there.
I couldn't afford towels.
What?
I wouldn't be able to afford to.
And one second. And if it was messy 2 days in a row, the room was locked. And you couldn't come. You couldn't go to bed that night until you paid the knas. And it was really bad. They would do the other round. They would take a mashkin up front, and then. If you kept it to a certain time, you got your money back. If not, he would just or a gift that used to check the dorm on a regular basis. You know, every few weeks he would go through the dorm, and he would leave notes. This room is not befitting for Ben Tara.
Wow.
Like, it was serious, Ben Tara. This is Derek Harris, the way you present yourself. I mean, there was a lot of chinuch on that. So I got, you got a warning. I mentioned my wife says, you know, I can do hospital corners, but I couldn't do the hospital corners. There was a line in about Tells, which is not true nowadays. It was even true in my days, but you know, earlier, and it says, I serve time in Tells. that was the line about that was the description of what it meant to learn in Tells. I served time in Tells. Yeah. It was very, very we want to be Ruggle and Tara. We want to be, that's who we are. It should be natural. It shouldn't be that I have to fight it. At the same time, it should be Haravno, it should be with thought. The avoider is not to new Kabbalahs, new actions necessarily. The avoider is that which I'm doing it with thought. It's targeting myself. Asecha v'haravno. It's not the v'haravno. Therefore, you know, I'm gonna do new anhagas every single day. No, targeting myself. Asecha. Fine, just keep what it is. You know, your life's too busy. Russia says, just keep to the plan. But that is because not just because, whatever. That's this phenomenal word. This word, whatever. You're like, why? Because, you know, right? And why did you do that? Stam, like, you know, it's stam. You know, lama stam, kacha, you know, right? So the person says, no kachas over here because this is who I am. This is a decision that I make. I want to present myself like that. I want to be like that. It's meaningful to me. It means something to me. It's an expression of who I am. And yes, and each day the expression might be a little bit different. It's not exactly, it's not going to be exactly the same. Rabbi Emanuel Feldman has a collection of essays called The Shul Without a Clock. That's the name of the collection. And the first essay is called The Shul Without a Clock. He says, how came a clock in a shul? He says, one day you're in this uplifted, excited mode, and you know, maybe Dominic goes more quickly. One day you're in a contemplative mode and you want to think about something. One day you're in the mood of joyous singing. One day then you're in the mood of contemplating your avarice. Each day you're different. What does it mean you're on a clock?
Probably there are a lot of people in the show and everybody's on a different. There's no clock.
If tefillah is avodah shebalev, it's an expression of the human being who he is. Rebbe writes a line which is like mind-boggling awesome, because you have to hear he says it. He says, I don't understand the people who complain about the issue that davening seems to be rote, because we keep saying the same thing over and over again. He doesn't understand the problem. Why? He says, because you're always growing. And davening is an expression of who you are. From chakras to mincha, you grew. So your mincha is different than your chakras, because it's not the same thing, because you're not the same person. He says, I never once had a tefillah which was the same as the tefillah beforehand. He can't comprehend the issue. Like, the other end of the spectrum, one of my rebbeim, Rabbi Yaakov Kohen, one time shared that a bacher came to him by Maariv with a shiloh. Right? He answered Baruch Hu, and he started davening Maariv. And he realized somewhere along the way that he's holding in the fourth bracha benching. So, the way Rabbi Yaakov described it, in his inimitable way, he says, he put the wrong tape in the tape recorder. He pressed start. Sound came Birchas Hamazon instead of Mar. Now what do we do? That's such a good way to describe it, right?
That's great.
Like, it's a tape recorder. So, sometimes our davening looks like that, you know. So, like, but the Baruch Hu made Regilus as part of the functioning of human beings. We couldn't function without Regilus. And we want our Regilus to be in the world of Torah. Right? But that's a very dangerous thing when it starts playing out in our lives. It's not inspiring anymore. It's not an expression of who we are. It's when Nishantim Ba'or, it's the Baruch Hu says, so tape recorders don't get a Beis HaMikdash. If all you are is a tape recorder which plays tapes, so you don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore. The Baruch Hu made it for the expression of a man. So the avoida of Targalena Masura Secha, the Kabbalahs, you come there and making Kabbalahs, you know. The point of the Kabbalah is not this phenomenal change. The point of the Kabbalah is a Kabbalah which pushes me enough to be that I have to think. And hopefully that infuses other areas of my life as well. I'm not just doing it because. One, but there's another Ben Yarna, which I don't think he tells, so maybe he does, I don't remember. Ben Yarna writes in his Pirush on Ovis, okay, Agav, just as an aside, in Revol Ben Ali Shur Chelek Aleph, like when he's describing the a person as a Ben Torah, what svarim, what knowledge of svarim should he have in his pocket to be able to pull out? He says, you need to know myself for sure. He goes through a list of four things. He says, a Ben Torah needs to know Masil Sashar. He says, he needs to know Chumash with Rashi and Rabban. Beis. He needs to know Abbas with Rabbeinu Yarno. That's the third. And he says the fourth one also, which right now my mind is slipping, whatever it was, the fourth one. I think it's Archaim Mishabura, I think, is the fourth one. So that's the goal a person should set to himself. So he says, Ovis, the Pirish, which you need to know, to learn Ovis, is Rabbeinu Yarno. Rabbeinu Yarno says that the mission of the person who's Loiman Amanas, well, Lamed, Mesugun Yadol Lumer Lamed. Loiman Amanas Lasa is Mesugun Yadol Lumer Lamed Lishmer Belasas. Says Loiman Amanas means you learn, you recognize that the Torah is not just an interesting book. Torah is a directory of how you're supposed to live your life. So he says, and therefore, when you learn Torah, you're going to be misbehaving. What message does it have to me? And if you're not clear exactly what that directive is, you're willing to spend days, if necessary, weeks to figure out what that is. Right? It's real. Torah is a real thing. It is the Rosh Hashanah talking to us and saying, this is what you're supposed to be doing. So, and that might mean that there's something new. Like, I find it fascinating when you'll get, you know, you have people, I have Talmidim which are constantly asking Shilas. Like, you know, I copped this issue, I thought about this possibility, well, what about this? Maybe I should do Bikabak. But in other words, their mind is engaged in trying to do it right, which means it's real. So this is something which is true, which is real to them. It's important to them. So they wanted to get it right. So they're thinking about it. If we're not trying to make sure to get it right, means it's not real. So if that's what I've been doing until now, Mastam, it's okay. Rabbi. Pesach Krohn has he spoke one time and he said over the Pesach Krohn, one of the two, said over a story. He contrasted two stories which took place. Story A, a person is going to Community X for Shabbos, for Simcha, and staying by House X, which turned out that those people are Bali Tshuva, and he comes for Shabbos and brings his Shabbos gift, and he points out that he hasn't tabled the keli yet. So the woman of the household says, I don't know what that is. What is this tefillah thing? What are you talking about? So he explained to her the halacha is you have to travel. He says, I never heard this before. It's Arab Shabbos.
He's spending Shabbos there.
So she says, can you help me? She took every single keli out of her house and ran to the keli. He found out where the mikvah was. And Arab Shabbos, this woman took every keli of her house and traveled it. And learned the halacha, let's do it. It's real. Story A. Story B. Everybody left says over a story that he was giving a shiur when he was here in America in his shul. And he was talking about the lachas of Bara. So somewhere, as he's going on talking about Bara, explaining Bara, the malacha, etc. Somewhere in this, one of the members of the shul says, Rabbi, it's not true. He said, what? It's not true. This Bara thing is not true. He said, what do you mean? He said, my father was Shomer Shabbos, my grandfather was Shomer Shabbos, and they never once told me about this Bara thing. They didn't. All the things you're talking about, they didn't do. So it can't be true. It's some chumrah that you made up, etc. But it's not really something you have to do. There's no such thing called Bara. Doesn't exist. Can't be true, because I didn't do it until now. It's not true. My Yiddishkeit is like this. It's static, it's stationary, it's stuck. I ain't growing. There's no such thing as a new halacha. My shir one time had the aura. So towards the end of his stay here in Silver Spring, so his shul basically died. So he was having a different shul. And so came Sukkot's time, so he comes in with his Lulav and Esrog. Most of the members of the shul still use the shul's Lulav and Esrog. So somebody asked him, like, why are you bringing all this? It's better to bring your own Lulav and Esrog. He says, you know what? My father used the shul's Esrog, Lulav and Esrog. My grandmother used the shul's Lulav and Esrog. So I could too. So my shir had said to him, your father lived in a house which just like this. You're living in the same house as your father? Driving the same car as your father? No. So your house, you're willing to get an upgrade. The car, you only get an upgrade. The suit, you're willing to get an upgrade. But the Lulav and Esrog, good enough for your father's, good enough for you. That was my shver's response. It's like, we always want to get better. We always want to do more. We want to accomplish. So if it's real, this is an area of endeavor. It's an area of endeavor. So we're saying that the Kabbalah is, so let's say emotional, just the idea of thought process. I said over this for the ladies in Shabbos, so I gave a mashal which I think would be relevant to the women, but I think the men could hear such a thing. So a woman makes lunches every day for her husband, and they should take the work. She does it because that's what she's got to do. She doesn't think about what it means, the chesed, that she's making a lunch, how much she has to cross the toiv, the fact that her husband goes to work. She does it because that's what she's got to do. Like, that's part of the, maybe the first time she did it, that was what she thought, you know, but she was doing it now for 20 years. She's not thinking about it. It's just part of the routine. Imagine she says, you know what? I want to do it with more thought. So each week I'm going to think about one thing which my husband does, which I really like very much, and I'm going to concentrate that. I'm going to take 3 seconds to think about that while I'm making his lunch. Grace of Kabbalah. No grace of mises. But you change that mises from a mises of a behemoth to a mises of a human being. And chances are very, very good that you're going to making a nicer lunch or more, even if not the food is going to be different, it'll be presented better. The napkin will be folded nicer. There might be you put a little bit of note in. Your actions are going to change as well. Because once you see this as an expression of a relationship, not just an action, so it's a relationship. Mitzvahs are a relationship to us in Kadosh Baruch Hu. Once you take them out of the world of Milomada, they're expressing a relationship. The person says, that's what the Beis HaMikdash is about. It's about a relationship. When I shout them, it's not a relationship. It's lunch. Person says, I don't need lunch. I bring you kibbutz every single day. Great. The person says, I'm so starving. The point is, it's a relationship. Relationship can only be expressed. Yes, you need actions. You can't have a relationship with just thoughts. I'm thinking about you. I love you very much. I haven't much thought about you. I think about you every single day. So thank you. But can you please pick up the phone and tell me that? That's not a relationship. Well, I really mean it. It's beautiful. You have to express it. Right? The relationship means the expression of something. You need actions. You need to have a service. But you also need it to be, it should be an expression of something. So the Anoshim Shel Tzura is not just a nice icing on the cake. It also changes that what we're talking about into an expression of something. Person says, then Beis HaMikdash has a right to exist. So when Rosh Hashanah Moritz is not an Oynish, it's just like that. Well, Beis HaMikdash is a Hekatimsa Ba'alma, that the expression of a love between a relationship between me and you and the relationship between us and the Baruch Shalom. Rosh says there's no expression here. It's just done because. Lama? Kacha. Right? Kacha is not a relationship. Right? My wife says, why do you buy me flowers on Rosh Hashanah? Kacha! Shkayach, you know? Because that's what you're supposed to do on Erev Shabbos. You know, the kachom hatali bechasan sheirushali shetzurichim liknot prachim erev Shabbat. You know, shkayach. Like she says, take your flowers and stick in the garbage, right? Bop you over the head with the flowers. Like, you know, like the point isn't the flowers. The point is the expression that it expresses. The point isn't the point is the mitzvahs. So the Rosh Hashanah says, the main thing is expression. You know what? I save myself money. No more flowers Erev Shabbos. I just think that you're nice. Obviously not. That's not the point. The point is the Maisa, but you change the Maisa totally because there's thought process involved in it. So I think that's an akuda to think about, you know, going from the Chodesh Av is Moshe Tevis Elul Bo, right? So it's the Hemshech. You go from Gimel to Pernusa to Shiva to Nechem. The Shiva to Nechem takes you there Rosh Hashanah. Right? So it's Tzitzis Hashem talking about Shiva Lekoy is the last of Torah before Rosh Hashanah. So, you know, here we are. We're going, Mamash gearing into. The Russian says, this is all about redefining what the Rosh means to your life. Is it real or not? Korban Bayis meant the Rosh wasn't real in our lives. But here also must see Mitzvah Nosher Milomar. It's a total. I have a person who's a Mara Derech. He gives me a direction of how to do something. As Russian says, I once heard from the Rishiva said, when Rishul Rozovsky was Nifter. So there was a Tkufa where there were a lot of Gedalim were Nifter. And Rishul was Nifter, Rishiva said a Hesped. And it was biting. He said, the Bershon says, listen, I love the Tzaddikim. I want the Tzaddikim next to me. But as long as they're playing a role of teaching Klal Yisrael and affecting Klal Yisrael in a positive way, I'm asking. But if you don't appreciate who he is, so I'd rather take him back home. So you don't deserve him anymore. I'm going to take him. Right, so that was what Shiva said. It was like, you know, but that was a hesped, you know. So a little bit, when I said it for the ladies, I didn't say it this, like, you know, I just spoke about, like, you know, not too heavy. And have a little more thought when you make your, same way you want to have a little more thought when you make your husband's lunch. So whatever tefillah you're saying, you're going to say, you know, women, some women just say minimum amount of tefillah. But you're going to say moedim, you're going to say thank you. So stop for a second and think about what you're saying thank you for. That's all. That's all you need to do. That can change your tefillah. Right? Or a person, you know, can feel it somewhere else. You know, you feel so good about the fact that you understand things and how much it means to you. And Barsham said, thank you. Barsham, it's such a bracha. You're so such a bal chesed that you allow me to understand some things. It changed my life. It affects me. It affects the people around me. I'm able to make an impact. You know, what it means, imagine I didn't have das. Even a little bit less das. How much das do I really need? How important das is in my life? How it affects me? Like, just stop for a second. Shir Isaac one time said this to me. He says, you say Birchas HaShachar. He says, so you're saying, you say it, I'll say it as you get dressed. So you, when you, each step of the process of being able to sit up, and Hashem, thank you for giving me the ability to be able to sit up. So, because of whatever reason, we're Masadar Bitsa Kesa nowadays, but says, whatever you could do, you should try and. He says, when you talk about it, he says, well, don't touch your belt. Think about what it means to have a belt. Anyway, right? You have a hat. You have something, a head covering. Right? You're able to walk. Take a step before you say the bracha. Just take one step. Shut your eyes before Bekech Yerim, and then open your eyes. Imagine what it like to means you wouldn't be able to see. So that was what he suggested, how you say brachas in the morning. Now, of course, if you're on the clock, you can't do that. Right? Brachas takes 1 minute and 3 seconds from the beginning of davening until you get finished. You talk in Egypt, the Bershom Shri knows only Yavkach, but they get all that done in that time at the time. Right? I one time tined that it's the Yetzer Hara is really not fair. We're, you know, We kvetch it, we don't have a relationship with the Kodesh, we don't feel the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The person says, you know, the famous story about the fellow, you know, with the flood, right? So the person sends the boat, and he sends, right? The person says, I sent you a davening every morning, which helps you feel my presence. I sent you different mitzvahs to do, tefillin, sitzes, etc., which help you be aware of my presence and feel connected to me. I sent you so many ways to save you. And you discarded all of them. And you have time to rush. I'm like, why do you make it easy to feel me? I gave you tefillah in the morning. If we would say tefillah with a little bit, just a little bit of awareness of what we're saying, a little bit of thought, we would change our day. Like, you know, oh, it's such a horrible day. What do you mean? I'm able to walk. I'm able to talk. I'm able to see. I'm able to, like, you know, I feel so good about it. Rush, it's, wow, look what you did to me. You changed my life. It's so extraordinary what it means not to be able to do that. I rush, thank you. Like, where am I catching about? Right? You know, so I don't feel the rush of my life. What do you mean I don't feel the rush of my life? I just contemplated the fact that brachas should take about 10 minutes. Birchas HaShachar. Like, L'chol HaPachas. There's something close. It's a halachic thought process, but the start is the Hashkafa Shabbai is awesome. I think I mentioned it once. The more has a shayla and brachas in the first parak. The person started off the bracha with the wrong intent, and he finished off the bracha correctly. Is it a valid bracha or not? Tigobaser ikur shabracha, yibaser chasima. Close Rashi in the Rif, Hadal in the Gemara. So we have learned in the Gemara, the Morris case, the Morris gives an example. A person is holding a kais of Sheikher, and he thinks it's Yayin. So he starts out saying Rei Priya Gofen. Then he realizes that he corrects himself and he says, Shakol Ni Abed Vorot. The Morris says, other rounds, you're Yotze, because B'di'evid, a Shahakol on wine works. But over here, he planned to say Rei Priya Gofen on beer. So that's not going to work. He corrected himself. So the Rif says, the Morris case was, the person said the following, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Rei Priya Gofen, Shakol Ni Abed Vorot. So that the more shaila is, can you correct it? Since when you actually said the bracha, you said Rei Priya Gofen, can you correct it? And that's the more shaila. Rashi learns no. The person said Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shakol Ni Abed Vorot. So what's the shaila? When he said Hashem Hashem, he thought Rei Priya Gofen. That's called Ikra Brochu. So let's think about it. So, Baruch Atah Hashem, different translations. Basic translation is Rebershim, I'm thanking you for the fact that you're the source of all Brocha in the world because you've given me X. I recognize that through the vehicle of the fact that you've given me X. Rebershim says, you know what? Rebershim, you're wonderful. Thank you so much. For what? I have no idea. I'll figure it out by the time I get to the end of the Brocha. Baruch Atah Hashem, you're saying, you know, Sammy, you're a wonderful guy. I don't know why. I'll figure it out. That's an insult. Baruch Atah Hashem, by that point in time, you need to know what you're saying thank you for. That's the Ikra moment of the Baruch. When you say Baruch Atah Hashem, that's the Ikra, that's the more called it Ikra HaBaruch. The final words of the end are the Kasima. But the Ikra moment of Baruch is when you say Baruch Atah Hashem. That's Rashi learns the Gemara. That's a halachic concept, but that's a hashkafic concept also. So how do you say a bracha? But you get to the end, you find out what the bracha was. It's the only way you can do it, but you stop before the bracha. You say, what am I saying next? You can't do that in 1 minute and 3 seconds flat. You need to stop between each bracha. What's next? Okay, Barashim, thank you the fact that I have clothing. Bracha to Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Malbish Arumim. It's not a gersa maisa. I mean, you know. Yes, we could sit there and contemplate it tremendously. And that'd be wonderful, and beautiful, you know, right? And I don't mean like, you know. Saidamet is minyan. So shachris, Tuesday morning shachris starts at 7 o'clock. I mean, they didn't say brachas, so really, officially, doesn't, you know, davening started at whatever. Yishtabach was 7:18. Davening finishes 8:02. An hour, 2 minutes. Shilosh Ha'Nesrei was 14 minutes. Why? Because that's when the 10 people have finished. So they can start with the shots. There's still people, most people, I mean, the whole minyan was like 15, 20 people. And most people were still, a lot of people were still davening. But they finally got to the point where 10 had finished. Now, it was a self-selecting minyan, obviously. If you didn't like that pace, you wouldn't daven it, right? I happen to like that pace. So I mentioned to somebody, I mentioned to a young man who, and I brought something for him, etc. So I mentioned, davening, I met him outside of the shul because that was a landmark where he knew where the shul was, right? He says, you know, I daven there. He says, he asked me, Rabbi, why? I said, I like the davening, it's a nice slow davening. He says, you know, says, well, where we daven also, it's a very nice slow davening because Shema takes like forever. So you can finish your whole chakras during the Rosh Hashanah Shema. I said, I didn't say anything. I said, my gosh, we are talking about two different worlds. He's talking about the frum kind of saying Shema with all of the pitchikas of saying Shema, and I'm talking about davening. Like, that's beautiful. That's dik dik mitzvah. It's not do with davening. I davened in a minyan that when they said slichas and shir rosh, you heard the people crying about the tzoros of Klai Yisrael. Hurachuman on Monday morning, what you heard weeping. When you read, if you read Hurachum, with any type of heart, I mean, you hear the pain of Klai Yisrael coming out of that tefillah. Right, but it was time because I got to work, So this minyan Nebuch, they didn't have these problems getting to work, So they davened. They started early because there was balabatim there also. Some people there were davened. There were people who went on to other things. They weren't learning the whole day. It was just like, I don't know. It was very refreshing to me because it reminded me that I'm not poshut, like weird. That I think like davening should actually be an expression of a human being's emotions, and it takes time sometimes to feel that. And yeah, you're and right. Sometimes you're in a uplifted mode and you're singing Pesukah Zimra and you're excited about that, and sometimes you're more it's takanat. It's not monolithic. It shouldn't be. It should be like you walk in the morning and the person says to his wife, "I love you so much. It is so wonderful to be married to you. I think it's great." Okay, that was 14 seconds. Overtime today. So you get a bit better, a little bit better, quicker tomorrow. there's a guy in the background saying, it's going too slow. That's what our tefillah looks like. It's an expression, right? Now, yes, sometimes the way a person says "I love you" is different. It shouldn't be the exact same time, right? It's sometimes an excited something. It's a contemplative. Sometimes yes, that's human beings. Okay, I think enough said. I just want to tell you one more thing. Oh man, this is a totally different topic. I read an Ace.com article from Rabbi Blech. I happen to enjoy his writing very much. Ever read him? Rabbi Benjamin Blech?
No.
Oh. You remember Shmuel Blech, right? Yeah, that was his cousin. As Ilona used to say, he says, "Benny, oh, Benny, Blech, yeah." she remembers him, So he's a Raman, why you, You see, he's put out 20 books. So he wrote an article this week about there was this tragedy of this fellow who left the twins in a car. Right? And, the sad part about it, The sadder part about it was that this is a loving father who just forgot. Right? And he wrote about this syndrome where it's possible that, they've actually documented this, that this issue of that people get into a rote and they forget. And, the solution, and so there was comments on the bottom. I don't know, 20, 30 comments. So people say, that they have these different, there's an app which you set that rings to remind you, is your child, it actually says, can talk, they have one, Eretz Yisrael, the Waze has an app that you, in the Waze, you can set a thing that it should remind you to take the child out. And one person said, that they get in the car, they take off their left shoe and they put it in the car seat with the baby. Because you're not going to walk out of the car without your shoe. Right, et cetera. There are different things, et cetera. What?
Talking about making cars with sensors.
They have car seats with sensors now.
Right. So there's one guy in the comments, his name is Richard, says, "You guys out of your mind." Like we're talking about a child over here, we're not talking about you forgot your wallet. Like, what is a shaykh over here that you know, that a human being who cares should forget the child? This, you know, there's no exculpating this individual. He doesn't deserve it, etc., etc., etc. So the person goes back, you know, you can't trust the person, back and forth, etc. So I'm looking at it, and this is, I'm sharing with you my thought process. All right, so at first glance, the guy's 100% right. Right? Like, we're so almost inured to the emotions that, like, you know, yeah, we'll sit and discuss what the best way to put, to make sure that you don't forget, like, last time you forgot your arm at home. Like, you know, this is your kid, right? He's 100% wrong.
Right, that's not normal.
No, I'm saying, but he's 100% wrong. Why? Let's change this scenario. Let's talk about the kids. Anima Mimuna Shlema, I know, let's say there's 7.5 billion people in the world. Mustama, 2 billion of them are married. In relationships with somebody that means a tremendous amount to them. They care about that person tremendously. And they hurt them constantly. And they don't mean to. But they forget themselves. Well, if you really cared, how could you do that? If it really means something to you, it must be you don't care. Really? Of course you care. But human beings have deficiencies. And the way you address deficiencies is not because, well, if I really cared, I would just overcome. That's not how you recognize that with all of your caring and all of your concern and all of your love and all of your meaning, without a plan, it doesn't work. The person who says he has issues with laziness and he promises his wife he'll take care of something and he means it to the nth degree and it hurts her to the nth degree, but he doesn't do it and he still forgets. And the guy who has an anger issue, and the wife who yells at her husband, and she regrets it tremendously afterwards. So why'd you do it? Because that's her. So what's the solution? I don't love my husband so much, I'm just going to overcome. No, you got it. That doesn't work. I am going to do tshuva, I'm going to force myself to stop doing something wrong. Why? Push through. Guarantee rate of success. If you really cared, you would recognize that you have a real problem and you need a solution and you need a plan and you need a program and you need to recognize, you need to be honest with yourself that they ain't going to work just with love. See, this guy was screaming, love, 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 care, care, care. I cannot allow such a thing. It totally means he doesn't understand what it means to love and to care. So leaving the scenario to the nth degree, this is the extreme scenario. Forget about that for a second. And we do it every single day. We let down the people which mean the most to us in myriad of other ways, either by yelling at them or by hurting them or forgetting about them, whatever it is. And do we mean to do it? Of course you don't mean to do it. Do we want to do it? Of course you don't want to do it. Do we feel bad about the fact that we did it? Yes, we do. Are we going to do it again? Yes. Well, if you really cared, you would. So it's a raya, don't care. No, it's a raya that I'm a human being and I have deficiencies and the way I express my caring. So the guide says that if a person wants to do tshuva without making gedorim, it's not an honest tshuva. This idea that just do. Yeah, there's one out of a million, you know, he says he came to such a karva kodesh baruch hu, to such an awe that he can't do any avers. Beautiful. But the remaining 99.999% of the Bria, the Gaon says, the way you do tshuva is by making a door. I have problems. I'm going to address it with X, Y, and Z. So, if you really believe in the importance of a mitzvah, you wouldn't have to make a door. Like, it's a right, you're a little capable of his moral, so you're a bad person. You know, like, that's not called tshuva. I can make the whole argument. It's the exact same argument. Like, really? You got to make a plan to do tshuva? So I, you know, just reading it, you know, honesty with who we are when our deficiencies are is one of our biggest problems. It's a pasnisht. I just had a shiloh right now.